In this morning, Book of Acts and chapter number 10 is where we'll go. Acts chapter number 10, and let's go ahead and stand and we'll read our scriptures for today, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Acts chapter number 10, verse number 30. Acts 10, verse 30 says this, "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. Behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning, and also that God would get the glory. The devil is going to fight this message today, and he is, and he's doing his best to turn hearts away, including mine, and just having to try to help and correct, but ultimately God wants to get the glory. And we won't let the devil have the victory. So we're going to pray, ask the Lord to be with the message and hearts, including mine, that to be clear and directed by the Lord today. Amen. So let's pray, though. And I'm going to ask Brother Coy, would you please lead us in prayer, please? And then Brother Jordan, if you'll close us in that prayer. Right? Please be seated. Put this on real quick. Acts chapter number 10. Let's look at this real quick. Acts chapter 10. No one's changed his clock up here yet, so I got an hour and 25 minutes. It's awesome. I better to be changed for tonight, won't it? All right. Peter is sent here in this passage we just read to Cornelius. The Lord is showing to Peter and to everyone in this passage of Scripture that the Word of God and the Gospel is for everyone. That's what it says in verse number 36, the Word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And he did. The message, he was a Jew, the Lord Jesus was, and he spoke to the Jews. But understand, he's not just the King of the Jews. He is Lord of all.
Right.
Everyone. In verse number 34, the phrase says, of a truth, Peter said. Of a truth, he said, now this is something that God had to teach me through this experience, but also something that is just a truth and is something we all need to understand and comprehend. It says, verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, there's a whole lot of application in that verse, but the bottom line is this, that God did not send his son just to save the Jews. Praise God, he came to save the world. And salvation is not just for a group of people or who God elected. That's what some people say. But the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. For God so loved the world, not a small group, but the world, that he sent his only begotten son. And we rejoice on that side of this verse, and that is purely and absolutely what the Word of God is saying there. But at the same time, there's another side to that too, that God is no respecter of persons. And I want to just give a few minutes real quick this morning, if you'll give me just a few moments on this topic. You are not the exception. God's not going to treat you or me any different than anybody else. You didn't and have not earned any special favor with God that everyone doesn't have. You haven't been granted some special love that everyone hasn't been granted. God loves us all. And I preach this message. God's been putting these thoughts together for quite a few weeks, but there's so many people that sit in church and they hear the Word of God and they look around and they think of who that message applied to. Can I give you a little hint or a little insight, probably a better word, as I was asked last week, actually, about how a pastor gets a message together. And I can't speak on behalf of everyone, every pastor and preacher, but I can speak on behalf of, I hope, preachers that walk with the Lord, that a message is put together through the Word of God. Not through, writing out some things and then trying to find a verse that would apply to it, but rather God speaking through His Word. And so if ever in the future, or today even, you say, well, that message, was you thinking of me? No, I was trying to think what the Holy Spirit wanted. And that's how any pastor should always try to preach. Now, he's going to be sensitive to the needs of his church, but it would be a great fallacy for me to sit down and try to put together a sermon in my flesh, because it will fail every time. But I try to be led of the Spirit. And so God's been speaking to my heart about this topic for months now, but finally the Lord gave liberty this week in putting these words down. But there's so many people that sit and they hear the Word of God, and they look around and they think, well, I wonder who that message was for. But for some reason, we often think we're the exception. We never consider ourselves. Or we hear preaching about different topics and we think, boy, people probably should do that. Well, do you do it? Do you? And we think that for some reason, I forget who I was, I think I remember now, but is in our conversations with some of the men in the church, and one of the men made a statement something like this. I'm not going to say it like they did, but so many people want a churchy outcome, but they don't want a spiritual life. They want all the benefits of serving God without serving God. They want all the benefits and the blessings that only God can give upon a life and a family, but they don't want to live the life that God has instructed for people. And look at me. Nobody's the exception. Nobody's the exception. I had some meetings this week with outside of our church and with some families and some pastors about some situations that they're handling. And there was a lot of focus was on
some pastor's kids or missionary kids who thought that they were the exception to the rule. But they aren't. They're not. Alex, Grace, and Hope are sitting in this room. They have a good heritage. Look back at my grandparents and their great-grandparents and my parents and Stacy's parents and their grandparents, and we've tried to live a good life in front of them, to point them to the Lord. But if they don't go by this book, they will fail. Because they have to make the choices. Well, it won't happen to me. It might happen to you. God is no respecter of persons. I was talking to Brother Matt right before services, but I remember me and Brother Matt have been friends a long time. Fifth grade. When I cheated on a memory verse contest, we became friends, right? He should have won. I'm confessing in front of everyone. Right? Are you happy? He should have won. But I got to church an hour and a half early because my parents, you know, were always doing things. And so I got there, and so there's a chart where people said their verses, and they put a star when they said their verse. I knew where the stickers were. I was there an hour before the Sunday school teacher. So we both won. That was awesome. God meant it for good, right? Right? No, I cheated, man. That's terrible. I've confessed that, all right? And publicly, so there you go, all right? But been friends a long time. But, you know, there were, and I'll say, you know, my dad, everyone loved my dad. He just, you know, pretty much everybody. And so we would go places, you know, and I'd be like, hey, kids, you know, can't go here. But then someone would say, hey, you Brother Burke's son? Yeah. And I would get to go in. Brother Matt would soon learn. We called it the Master Burke card, right? All right? I'm not lying, am I? Yeah, all right. So he got one. He got an honorary Master Burke card. So he just hung out with me, and we got to do things, all right? It was really cool. There are benefits, but in the end, I had to choose to do right, because no name is going to carry you anywhere except the name of Jesus. No pedigree is going to earn you any favor with God unless you've humbled yourself before that God and allow Him to be in charge. And this morning, I just want to reiterate the point that the Bible says here that God is no respecter of persons. I will never stand before God and be able to say, but I was a Burke, because I'll have a new name in heaven. That name's gone. It means nothing. I was an American. Means nothing. Well, I was, you know, Travis Hudson's grandson. Means nothing. I'm thankful to be an American. I'm thankful to be a Burke, and I'm thankful so much to be Travis Hudson's grandson. But with God, He's no respecter of persons. And so I hope you'll get this in these few minutes real quick, that you are not the exception. I'm not the exception. God is no respecter of persons. Number one, when it comes to sin. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. That includes you and me. You're not the exception. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God, including you and me. You're not the exception. We're so quick to point at everyone else's faults, but so rare to look at our own. Your sin is just as evil as everyone else's sins. Your sin is just as condemning as everyone else's sin. And your sin is just as present as everyone else's sins. We're all sinners. It is not a matter of if you have sinned. We all have sinned. And there is no exception. So we establish the fact, number one, we're all sinners. And no one is the exception to that rule. Number two, there are no exceptions when it comes to the principle of sowing and reaping. You are not the exception. Look at a few verses real quick in Job. We'll come back here if you want to put a bookmarker in Acts 10 or something, or finger or something. But in Job chapter number 4, right before the book of Psalms, all right? Psalms is usually, you open up your Bible, you'll find Psalms. But in Job chapter number 4, Job chapter 4, and then maybe Brother Tyler, if you can get ready to put up Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 for me in a second. But Job chapter 4, and in verse number 8, Job said these words, "Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." God's word is true. And I'm not the exception. And you aren't either. If we think that we can play with sin and get away with sin and have fun in sin and there be no repercussions, you're wrong. If we think we can ignore what the Bible says and do it our own way until I feel like it, you're wrong. God has no exceptions. He is not a respecter of persons. You say, "But I've been in church a long time." God doesn't care if your heart's not right. You say, but I am a member of a church." You can live in a garage, doesn't make you a car. You'll feel exhausted. There's a scene if you're paying attention. All right, all right. But the fact is this, all right? Just because you're sitting in church doesn't mean you're right with God. "Well, I'm a member." That's not the issue. I've sat in church for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Okay. But if you're disregarding what this book says and living how you want to live, saying no to God, it's not going to work. It's never going to pan out. You're not the exception. Because God is not a respecter of persons. I didn't cue anybody on their testimonies. But the Holy Spirit did. Did you hear it? God's way works. Did you hear it? He always sees us through. Did you hear it? God uses His people to help encourage us and teach us what the truth is. Did you hear it? There are no exceptions. If we reap and plow iniquity and wickedness, that's what you're going to get back. I have a very, very small garden. Looking forward to having another one. We've got to get my nephews over to weed, and that's their job. I don't do that anymore, but they love to do it. Right, Caleb? Thank you. All right, yeah, all right. For some reason, I got to pay them. All right, But I've put lots of different seeds in the ground. And when I put a cucumber seed in the ground, 100% of the time, 100% of the time, I grew a cucumber. I mean, it's amazing how that works, right? I put the tomato in the ground. And you know what grew? Tomatoes. I never put the tomato seed in the ground, and out came an orange tree. It never happened. You say, "Well, that's silly." Yeah. So what do you expect, right, disregarding the Word of God and living in sin? Right. Right. Why would you be different than that? Why do we continue to plant seeds of wickedness in our life and think we're going to get a different outcome? Yeah. Doth not nature itself teach some very profound principles? Yeah. But the issue is sometimes we think we're the exception. In Galatians chapter 6, you can just look at the screen, verse number 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh, so of the flesh reap" what? "Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap" what? "Life everlasting." You say, "It's hard." That's why the next verse is there. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall what?
Reap.
If we what? So what are you sowing? You see, we're not the exception. God's word is the truth. Amen? And if we are going to reap to the flesh, see, what's that mean? Do what I want to do? Do what my flesh says? When I determine I'm going to do something, you know, whatever makes me happy, however I think about it, I love your thoughts. I love us considering things. But anytime our thoughts or feelings go against what God said, we're wrong. And when you sow a life that is contrary to this book, you can only expect to reap one thing. Everybody look at me. Destruction. Destruction. It will destroy your life. It will destroy your kids' life. It will destroy your family life. It will destroy your spiritual life. It will destroy your job life. Every aspect, those seeds of destruction will bring a whole lot of fruit that you don't want. But that's what happens when we sow to the flesh. And you're not the exception. Well, it hadn't happened to me. It will. You say, well, I've been living in my flesh and I'm happy. Number one, I always say, really? 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 Now, when we sow to the Spirit, you know, I made a joke that I'm hiring my weeding and tilling up the ground. And I am, because it's hard work, and I don't really, my back says, nah. Give the kids a few bucks, they enjoy it. And we eat pizza, and we have a good day. Right? But the fact is this, it takes work. It takes a lot of work. And sometimes, you know, we got a few men, it's farmed a whole lot of stuff in here. Brother Doug, you plant a few seeds in your life? A few seeds. Sometimes you get weary. Yep. Some days you get tired. Some days you even begin to think, am I even going to get anything out of this? You're not the exception.
Right. That's right.
If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. So be not weary in well-doing. A lot of times you always look at those who are doing evil and be like, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. So now let me look at all the believers that are trying to do right. You're going to reap what you sow. Amen. There's a positive there. But for a lot of people, they think they're the exception. They think, well, you know, as I said earlier, I'm a pastor's kid, or I'm a deacon's kid, or I've been raised in church. My grandma's a great person. My grandpa, my aunt, my uncle. Well, that's all wonderful. But everything in this book still applies to you, and you're not the exception in any way. Some people think, well, I don't deserve that. Actually, you do. We all do. There's another passage of Scripture. Probably be quicker just to throw it up here. All right, but Hosea, if you want to turn there, I'm going to. But Hosea chapter number 8, all right, verse number 5. So you get to Daniel, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Ezekiel, Daniel, then Hosea. Hosea chapter number 8. You say, it's really nice of you helping people find that passage. I'm not. I'm reminding me where it's at. Hosea chapter 8, verse number 5. All right? Hosea 8, verse number 5. It says, thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. Now, what's he talking about? You know, it's not a cow, all right? Like walking around. In Samaria, they set up these false idols. These golden calves, remember? It seemed to always be a hindrance in Israel's life.
Right.
These idols. Thy calf, O Samaria, cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it, therefore it is not God. In other words, if a man put it together, that's not a God. God creates man. Man doesn't create God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. The Samaria, the northern Israel, they went after idols, they went after the wind. You say, what's that mean to go after the wind? They're chasing things they have no control over. They're chasing things that they can't ever attain. They're trying to, you say, what? Well, they're trying to please their flesh. And your flesh is never pleased. I mean, that's where addictions come from. Well, I'm just going to drink my sorrows away, and then tomorrow I'll start afresh. Doesn't seem to ever work that way, does it? Next Friday, you need more. I'm just trying to mask some things, and I take these drugs to try to escape. But soon the drugs have control of them. And whatever the sin, whatever you want to look at, all right? And by the way, we all have issues. But they chase after the wind. It's like me trying to catch wind in here. You know, I didn't catch it. You can't, right? It's useless. And that's what God's saying. Who are you talking to when you call out to that false calf God? Who's listening? Nobody. What has that God done for you? Nothing. But as they sow to the wind, they're going to reap. And they don't just reap the wind. They reap what in that verse? Brother, just spent a few days with Pastor Ferguson. Got to fellowship with him a while. Tornado went through there in Iowa where he's at, Carlisle, Iowa. Took off the right side of their building, the roof. And really, God, it could have been worse. The houses around the church were totally demolished and destroyed. That tornado was only on the ground for a few minutes. But that whirlwind left a path of destruction. And if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. As the old saying goes, sin will take you farther than you want to go. And will cost you far more than you want to pay. The whirlwind always leaves behind a path of death and destruction. And here it says in that verse, it hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. In other words, nothing ever becomes of it. Nothing ever grows. There's no profitable fruit in sowing to the wind. You're living your life chasing dreams. Everybody look at me. The world has all kinds of philosophies and reasoning out there. And every one of those thoughts that goes against God's word is not true. Well, I'm going to try it out. You're sowing to the wind. And you can expect only one outcome: to reap the whirlwind. There are some people in this auditorium right now, praise the Lord for it. And we're not asking for any show of hands, but I'm just giving God the praise. There's a lot of people, including me, right, who have gone through some really hard times. There's a lot of us in this room that have had personal issues, financial issues, marriage issues, spiritual issues, raising children issues. And a lot of us in this auditorium have sat across the table from each other. And that's okay, because that's what we have a church for. Because we're all imperfect people, and we're at church for the perfecting of the saints, for the rebuilding, the reconciliation, the building. It's not some dishonor, oh, I had an issue. We all have issues. But there's two kinds of people in this auditorium. There are those who said, I'm just going to do it God's way. And they're rejoicing today. You heard their testimonies. There are those sitting in this auditorium that said, all right, if that's what the Bible says, Miss Tammy's gone, she got married and left us. That's good, all right? So now I'll share more stories about it now she's gone, all right? She hadn't been saved that long. She came, said, I got to have a meeting with you and your wife. She sat down in my office, and she said, explain this tithing thing because I don't want to do it. That's a big deal, right? If you've never done something like that. I said, well, since you ask, and my wife and I, we went through the scriptures, showed her. And she said, well, that's what the Bible says. That's what I'm going to do. And she did. And guess what? She retired early. Guess what? She's pretty happy. Guess what? Brother Mike's not a millionaire, but she's better off than she's ever been. With a husband, happy, in a good church, serving the Lord. Not just because she tithed, but because every area in life as she was growing, when it was solid in the Word of God, she said, okay. So what about that life do you not want? What is it about that that doesn't draw us? Amen? Right? I'm just trying to get us to think this morning, right? If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap destruction. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap life everlasting. You sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. You sow with iniquity and wickedness, and all you're going to get is destruction and the same. But if you sow to the things of God, you will reap what you sow. And you're not the exception. Amen? I'm not the exception. God's word, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? If we try to ignore God's word, ignore church, ignore God's will, you can expect nothing but destruction and issues in every area of our life. There is no exceptions. Let me make it really personal real quick. Miss Tammy with the whole tithing thing. That, listen, you sit around this church, every sermon preached is on record. You can go back and listen to him. I don't preach on tithing a lot, so don't ever leave here and say it's all he ever talks about. Because it's not, all right? But at the same time, it is taught in the Word of God. If you say, oh, I'm just not going to tithe, you're sowing to your flesh. Because you're saying, I want it. When the Bible makes it clear, you should. Now, all those that tithe, say amen. Amen? Yeah, look around, those that didn't tithe. No, I'm just kidding. All right. No, let's go on, right? Our music life should be that of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and anything that would not take us away from a walk with God. So the devil's music in your life? The Bible connects, it's not me, it's the Bible, good music with walking in the Spirit. Well, I don't want any of that music in my life. Well, you're sowing to your flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, there's life. Sow to the flesh, there's destruction. You keep looking at that pornography. I'm not addicted. You will be. Well, my sin won't be, well, it will. Because there are no exceptions. There's no exceptions to sin. We're all sinners. There's no exception to the principle of sowing and reaping. There's no exception to salvation. Amen. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. Don't take my word on it. The Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The wages of sin, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He that hath the Son is not condemned, but he that hath not the Son is condemned already. There's only one way to heaven. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, Titus, but according to his mercy he saved us. Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All of us that are going to heaven have one testimony. Now, and again, don't get hung up on this. I'll try not to go down this. I'll try to stay on point here. Sometimes we listen to other people's salvation testimony and we think, well, I didn't do it exactly like that. It's okay. Because guess what? In the Bible, everyone that got saved, they're all a little different. And there's no one in the Bible that you ever see that ever said a certain prayer or a certain... It's not in there. You know why? Because it's not about some magic words. It's not about going through a process. I don't care whether you want to take the woman at the well, Nicodemus, Peter himself, Paul himself, whether you want to take the Lydia in the Word of God, whether you want to take, you know, whoever, the criminal on the cross. Right. No one in heaven today talks about being baptized and how that they're in heaven because they were baptized. The criminal wasn't even baptized. No one in heaven today talks about what a good person they were and how they earned themselves a way to heaven. Everyone has the same testimony. And those that are saved had the same testimony. I am a sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me. And he forgave my sins. I trust in him. When we all get to heaven, we're all going to sing the same song. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Not myself, not hallelujah to my labors, amen, hallelujah to the Lamb. And if you're counting on any way to go to heaven except through humbly saying, God, I'm a sinner and I believe that Jesus died for my sins, you say, well, I'm a good person. I got my parents had me baptized when I was a baby. All these things are just works. But the Bible says, not by works. Right? You see, but you're not the exception. Yeah, but I thought you're not the exception. I'm not the exception. Travis Burke had to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. But how do you do that? John 1 makes it very clear. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. When you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and did what he said he'd do, because I'm the sinner, you can receive Christ as your Savior. And no one is the exception to that. No one is the exception, and I'm done. Number four, when it comes to success. Don't we all want to be successful? I would hope so. I hope no one's in the auditorium thinking, boy, I hope to be a loser. If you are, seriously, God doesn't want you to be a loser, right? Go back to where we started in Acts 10 and we'll close. God wants you to be a success. It says in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. There are no exceptions. Verse 35, but in every nation, this is for all of us. You want to be successful? Here it is. Number one, fear God. In every nation, he that feareth him. Fear God. That doesn't mean hide under a pew because there's God. That means reverence him. Right. Respect him. Right. You know, show an honor to him. Understand who he is. Fear God. Number two, forsake sin. every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness. Forsake sin. Quit sowing to the flesh. Quit living in our own desires. Fear God, forsake sin, and then you'll find acceptance. Can I tell you, that's where it's been talked about a lot. Pastor Carter preached on it when he was here about loneliness. And all of us can look back and probably think of these times in our life too. Maybe some are here today with this thought. You're just trying to find your place. You feel rejected by others, never accepted, don't fit in. What's my purpose? The verse says, in every nation, so this is for everybody, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is what?
Accepted
with him. God accepts you. If you'll go to God his way, God, I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me. God has never, he that cometh to me, the Lord said, I will no wise cast out. You go to God, he'll accept you if you go his way. You can't go to God and say, well, God, look what I did. That's not the way it works. But God, look who I am. It's not. It's about who he is and what he's done. And we find acceptance. Acceptance in this Christian life. There's a lot of people who feel like, I just can't please God. Wrong, you can. You can. Well, God's not happy with me. He can be. And he wants to be. Well, what do I have to do? Fear him and work righteousness. After salvation, just have a reverence for God. Live your life in light of that he is God of my life. And just do what's right. Well, that sounds so simple. It is. It really is. And you'll find that acceptance. We'll just close verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of all. You know what you'll find? Peace. There's so many people in this world that are just trying to find peace. There's probably some in our auditorium that are just trying to find peace. It's found. But you got to do it God's way. But there's no exceptions. There's no exceptions. Let God be true. Let's pray.